And now, let me turn to an issue that I also talked about a little bit a few weeks ago, that I am utterly infuriated about. Some of you may know and follow football. I do. I like sports. So Colin Kaepernick was really a sensational quarterback a couple of years ago. Came almost won a Super Bowl, if you will. Came very, very, very close. Not been too good the last couple of years. But it's so good that more and more athletes, and I think the passing away, the transition of Muhammad Ali also contributed to this, because it again showed the world what a conscious athlete could do. And certainly Black Lives Matter exploding onto the scene with this courageous, visionary sense that black bodies, black lives matter, all of them, if you will, has given a certain sense of courage, a certain sense of backbone to the black community again, which is utterly needed, a sense of resistance. I think it's very, very encouraging. So Colin Kaepernick decided that he, when the national anthem was being played, would sit down. He wouldn't stand up. And by the way, there's no law that says that you have to stand up for the national anthem. It is custom. It is really more way, put it that way. I'm going to be talking with some definitions in my class this evening. More way is strong. It's a kind of, it's not a law, it's a custom. It's kind of expected. It's a prescription. You are expected customarily to stand up for the national anthem. He said, I'm not standing. Sat down. In fact, he had been sitting down, but then the other day he was sitting down in his uniform. And all of a sudden, a firestorm erupts. Now, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the gymnast, Simone Biles, is the sensation now. But a couple of years ago, in the last Olympics, it was Gabby Douglas. So she's a part of this incredible U.S. Gymnast team. So they were there getting their medals. And she inadvertently didn't put her hand over her heart. And all of a sudden, it was all over social media. How dare she get up on the platform and don't put her and disrespect the United States of America? I mean, you know, this, she just inadvertently, but even if she didn't inadvertently, she has a First Amendment right not to put her hand on her heart, to sing the anthem, do anything with the anthem. That's the first point. But beyond that, and I've been listening to them pontificate about, oh, he's disrespecting the soldiers and so forth. Well, black soldiers have fought for this country from the very beginning. You know, if you go back to Crispus Attucks, arguably the first person to die fighting for these United States of America. Stokely Carmichael used to say, or Kwame Ture said, he was crazy for doing so. So you know, and a part of what he was saying is, over and over again, black people have been in the forefront of fighting for this country. Even when this country did not provide them with rights. Fought for America when America would not stand up and fight for us. So we have no obligation at any time to stand up for the national anthem, ever. And the other reason we don't have to do it, because we paid the price. We paid the price. Black people have fought in every war. Reluctantly, thousands were at Breed Hill and Bunker Hill. George Washington didn't want them. The British said they would take them, and so he reluctantly did arm them, and they fought in the American Revolution. Abraham Lincoln didn't want them either. Black folks were marching with their own feet. They were before the Emancipation Proclamation were beginning to move, abandoning these plantations, crippling them economically. And so all of a sudden, Gentleman Beast Butler said, wait a minute, they're coming by the thousands. What must we do with them? And Abraham Lincoln said, well, they might make soldiers. And by the thousands, black people fought in the Civil War for our own freedom. You know, also we're with the Rough Riders, for better or worse, probably worse in this instance, carrying on Manifest Destiny in the war in that took place in the Caribbean, if you will. And then in the First World War, again, black folks fought, and as I pointed out, they had the fight under the French flag. They weren't even permitted to fight. Black Jack Pershing wouldn't allow them to fight under the American flag. And yet we went and we fought and we bled. And when we came back, black folks were gunned down in the streets in their own uniforms. In these United States of America, we are the most patient patriots. Don't tell me about having to stand up for anything. It's the right to sit down, the right to protest. Went to the Second World War, came back, still segregation, still not having to go to the back of the bus, still in a situation where we did not have first-class citizenship. Korean War, the same thing. Vietnam, coming back to these urban inner-city areas, again, that began to explode because of inequality and the kind of depths of poverty that have yet to be resolved. And now, black bodies being gunned down in the streets, black folks being harassed, situations like Chicago, a state of emergency, so black people don't have to stand up. And we need to stand with Colin Kaepernick, not let him be isolated in the way that Juan Carlos and Tommy Smith were in that Olympics. They paid a hell of a price for standing there and putting with those clenched fists. For years, they were ostracized, and we kind of let them hang out there. We cannot let that happen. Got to stand with these athletes who have the guts and the courage to stand up. And I finish on this note as I listen to that anthem, which needs to be rewritten, talking about our anthem. Every time it gets to that phrase in there and it says, and our flag was still there in 1812, when black people, 4 million people, 3.5 million were enslaved, the other 500,000 were quasi-free, our flag, we don't have to stand. It's like Rosa Parks. She sat down so that others could stand tall. Colin Kaepernick is sitting down so that black people can stand up to oppression. The nation's attention can be called to the fact that we are yet free, that the dream that Martin Luther King articulated on that monument in 1963 has yet to be achieved. So therefore, we salute him for what he's doing. And they don't want me on the air. They don't want me on any of these programs. That's why I'm glad I'm on WBAI. I can say what I want to say, straight up, no chaser. Because if I get on one of these programs, well, y'all might have to come get me, because I don't like it at all. I'm utterly infuriated at the way this man is being treated, as if he has to stand up, because the history hasn't been told, and the folks don't actually know. That's why I like the red, black, and green. If he wants to stand for anything, let him stand up for the red, black, and green. And we're going to be talking about the red, black, and green at the State of the Black World Conference, because that's the flag of black people, the universal flag of black people. And I'm glad to see that Black Lives Matter is proudly waving. You see it coming back again. That also is a symbol of resistance, of affirmation. Because as far as I'm concerned, and I've talked about this way back in my presidential campaign in 1992, that we need a new covenant for a new society. And a part of that new covenant would be a new anthem and a new flag that reflects the histories of Latinos and Asians and women and workers in a much more respectful way than that red, white, and blue anyhow. And an anthem that does the same thing. Well, I'm off the soapbox now. Going to take a break here, come back. And Nataki Cambone will be talking to us about Let's Buy Black 365 and also some discussions about the economic empowerment sessions that we're going to be offering at the State of the Black World Conference. We'll be right back after this break.